of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 24. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I wanted you to see that. Hermeneutically, he's preaching about himself. They don't know it yet, but the Bible says in verse 28, it says, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further." You remember when the apostles are on the boat and the winds are blowing and they see Jesus walking on the water, and the Bible says he intended to go by, and they shouted out, "Hello!" Jesus said, "It is I." They were all freaking out. They all thought that they were dying. They thought they were seeing spirits walking on the water. That's pretty close to death at that point. You're Jewish. That was no way. You're not supposed to be seeing ghosts. Okay. Ain't supposed to see that. But they were going to die. And Jesus came up on the boat. He made as though he'd go by. Listen, he will let you to yourself. He will let you to your own devices. He will leave you alone. But if you say, "Come on, stay. And that's what they did. Verse 29 says, "And they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as they sat at meat, and he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, that their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight." See, this reminds me of a scene in the books of the Chronicles of Narnia, where the children are by the water, I think it was, where the king and the gold thing happened. You touch this thing and it turns you to gold. And right when the children are getting ready to touch the water, they see Aslan on the top and they're like distracted from all this gold that they could have. And they get the look in his eye and then he kind of walks away. And a couple of them got the clue. And so they stayed away from the water. You see, Jesus will give you a heads up. Don't go there. Don't turn that way. But he will let you turn that way. They constrained him. He stayed. And when he stayed, because of their constraining, they learned a whole lot about him. Because it says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat, he blessed and brake it, and gave to them, that their eyes were open, and they knew him." Now later they're going to say that our eyes were open as he talked. Because what they say here is they say this. They said their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished in verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures?" That's interesting because the word "talked" here is laleo. You see, when you get talking about Jesus, you kind of get a lyrical feel in your voice. This is fun. The words that Jesus was sharing with them were life, and they were peace, and they were good. Your bulletin says this morning, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." There is a buoyancy. There is a refreshment that comes from God's Word. So when you see him talking, you see him expounding that word we saw. It has the idea of hermeneutics. There's also a word of exegetical speaking. The Bible says in verse 36, "And as they went back and they told everybody what had happened again, they understood." And the Bible says, oh, by the way, I did miss the word exegetical. It's where he expounded to them from the prophets and so forth. Go back and find it when you can. Verse 33, it says that after he vanished, that they rose up and they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 gathered together and they were there. And they said, "The Lord is risen indeed," as they broke in and have appeared unto Simon. I don't know how they found out about that, because this didn't seem to be something they'd know. But they found that out somewhere on the tour. And the Bible says, "And they told what things were done and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread." You know how they knew? Because he had the scars. It was when he held up the bread and there were the scars and they, "Wait a minute, what?" You know, what? Do you know Jesus bears those scars? He told Thomas, "Put your hand in my side, push your hand in the thumb, in the prints of my arm. Listen, it is I and not another." Jesus will be known by those scars. They speak for you. Those are the ones that should have been yours. The Bible says that the Israelites in Zechariah will see him whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as for an only son. And he said, "Where did you get these wounds?" They'll ask him. He'll say, "I got it in the house of my friends." Isn't this good? Isn't this good? Let's just do this because it's so good, right? The lyricalness of the Word of God, he is awesome. He told us that before he was ever born by hundreds of years. About what was going to happen thousands of years later. Now look at this, verse 37, it says, "And when they saw Jesus stood in the midst of them, and he said unto them, Peace be unto you." Now it's interesting, they were sad earlier. These guys needed peace. Those guys need a little lift up, okay? These guys were kind of bottoming out. These guys are afraid. They're hiding out. They should have been going to Galilee. They should have been getting out of Dodge anyway. If you think about what he was telling them, they were supposed to go to Galilee and meet him there. That's what was supposed to happen. Nobody's in Galilee. Nobody got it. Nobody realized. The whole plan was almost foiled because they could not hear. They're just afraid. And fear is the devil's battle axe against God's people. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. But he said to them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and they were affrighted. The word for terrified is a word literally means they had fallen. Some of them fell to the floor. They were so afraid. And they were affrighted. They were in fear. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your head? The word troubled has the idea of being stirred up and agitated. And the word for thoughts is the word rationalizations. Why are you trying to explain this away? It's dialogimus. It means to dialogue in your own. Why are you trying to figure this out? It's obvious. I'm here. I am here. And what's very fascinating to me is he says, You let these thoughts. Why do you do that? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. And see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. The Bible says, while he spake in verse 41, it says, they believed not for joy. So they didn't believe, first of all, because they were afraid. Now they don't believe for joy. You may remember in, I think it's Mark's Gospel, where he says he upbraided them for their unbelief. That's one of the weird things about this day, is that he had to rebuke them. They were not believing. They had to believe. He said, they believed not for joy. He said, do you have any meat? And they had some fish and a honeycomb, and he did eat before them. And the Bible says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now, a lot of people will not bang on that wall hard enough to get it to open up. It's like trying to open up a coconut without any implements. You know, it's like trying to figure out any kind of puzzle, you know, figuring out your checking account when you can't find some money and things are all whacked out and you're like, I can't find you. Banging your head. But you stay with it. I want to say to you, stay with it. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the Word of God. Don't give up. Keep reading. Eventually, you'll find yourself taking wings. This book gives it back to you. God doesn't let you seek. The Bible says, seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Sometimes you need things like we're going through in this country right now and in the world for people to burst through. Draw near to Jesus. He says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. Verse 46 says, thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. And in verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we've seen it, haven't we? We've seen, first of all, we've seen the women come. We've seen the Lord come. And now we've seen light come. He opened their eyes. He gave their understanding light. He will give that to you. Don't ever doubt it. He says that one of the things that he did, the death and the burial and resurrection, it was all until. He says it needs to be telegraphed to the world. It needs to be taken. They need to be told about repentance. For the Gentile people, they needed to repent from their idolatry. From the Jewish people, they needed to repent from their morality. From the Gentile people, they needed to repent from their carnality. And for the Jewish people, they needed to repent from their legality. Sure, they had people on either side. This is not a hard and fast fact. But the fact is that the people in the world were all about carnality. All of their religions were caught up in it. And when you see this, you see him saying that repentance needed to be brought to them. They needed to understand it. And so they could not just have repentance, but the remission of sins. Because until you understand it, you won't have the light enough to understand what remission is. What Jesus did was he bore our sins in his body on the tree. What Jesus did was he took our punishment. What Jesus did was he paid for the gift of eternal life. And that whoever would call upon him would be saved. And that we would understand he died, but he didn't just die for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And the Bible says, likewise now, reckon ye yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. You've died with Jesus and you're raised with Jesus. And that relationship you have with Jesus helps you to take that next step. Even when you stumble, you can get up and go on forward because the wind is harsh. Don't give yourself so much credit to think that you can handle this thing called the Christian life. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll do better. You won't do better. You need to try with Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. You need to make Him the center of what you're after. Don't be trying to get a behavior pattern in front of you. Get Jesus in front of you. Keep your eyes on Him. The Bible says we behold as through a glass darkly, and we're changed into the same image, even as by one Spirit. When you look at Jesus, He'll help you walk on the water. When you look at Jesus, He'll help you overcome whatever it is you're struggling with. And when you look at Jesus, He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, so that you'll be able to go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. This is what David found out even in the darkness of the Old Testament. The Bible says in verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father, and you will be endued with power from on high." This is the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'm going to go, but I'm going to give you that Holy Spirit. You're going to get the promise." So now we have that. He's giving us the blessing. He says, not only did He give us the power, He says, "You're going to be witnesses of all these things," in verse 40. "I'm going to give you the power for it." And it says, and He lifted up His hands and He blessed them, in verse 50. Do you know what blessing is? It's the word eulogio. It's eulogy. You know what He said about Him? He said, "You're a saint. You're forgiven. I love you. I'll never let you go. I'm not giving up on you. I will see you through. None that come to me will I lose. No one can snatch him out of my hand. I and my Father are one." He says, "Nobody can snatch you out of my Father's hand. We've got you." If you would see yourself as God does, the crippled individual that you are, spiritually speaking, you would understand how His pity can endure. When you see a child who can't walk right, who's got a hitch, who's in a wheelchair, who's got downs, who's got any kind of infirmity, you feel pity. You feel it. Jesus sees us that way. You're living in a fog right now, but there's coming a day when we're in His presence. And the Bible says, in the presence of Jesus is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have it made, folks. You are complete in Him. That's important. That'll get you through. And Jesus gave that to him. And the Bible says, and He led them out a certain way in Bethany, which is on the Mount of Olives, in verse 50. And it says, He lifted up His hands and blessed them again. And in essence, He blessed them. He was parted from them and carried into heaven. And they worshipped Him. They proskuneo'd Him. They were all about Him. Proskuneo means puppy dog toward Jesus. It's like, man, we got Jesus. He's not here, but we got Him. We got the power. We got Jesus. We got forgiveness. We're going to be with Him. He has blessed us. He's spoken over us. Nothing's going to hurt us. We're going to be His witnesses. Things are going to be good. I don't know how, but Jesus has got it. You might, I don't know how, but it's okay because He knows how. God's got a plan. They worshiped, and the Bible says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. That's a lot different than troubled. That's a lot different than sad. How'd you get great joy? Spend some time with Jesus. What's really neat is how it ends. It says, and when they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The word praising literally is a word that means to tell their stories. Do you know how you praise Jesus? You tell your testimony to somebody. You know how you praise Jesus? You tell His testimony to somebody. You know how you praise Jesus? You tell somebody else's testimony to somebody about Jesus. You see, somebody else, I told you too today. I told you about Milo. I told you about that nurse. I told you those people got saved and they got baptized and now they're lit up. And you can hear the clarity in their voice. I'm telling you, when you're praising Jesus, it's going to be all about Jesus. It's not about Milo and it's not about the nurse. It's about Jesus. And it's not about you and it's not about me and our conversion. It's about Jesus. He's the star of the show. And praising Him feels right, feels good. It's all right. It's all good. So I commend to you this book to realize that you're called to be people who actually do pick up the words that He has given you, remember them, appropriate them, be strong, be safe in your heart because the devil wants to undo you. Keep close to the shepherd and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Let's bow together for a moment. Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.